Amen. Appreciate that special. Praise God for His endless love. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Titus chapter 3. The book of Titus, the third chapter. We'll find our text tonight, verses 3 through 7. If you haven't been here in a while, or if it's your first time, we are going through a series of lessons entitled Real Christianity. And if you've missed any of those, you can find those online at calvarymuldrow.com. Get caught up. There's been some great things in just trying to learn about what the Bible really has to say about what Christianity is. Too many times what we believe about Jesus and what we believe about the Bible and the things of God is just what we've learned culturally. We're right here in the Bible Belt, and most people believe in God, they believe in Jesus, and we've kind of got some just colloquial ideas about who Jesus is and what Christianity is about, and we want to get away from that and find out what the Word of God has to say about Christianity. And so I'd encourage you to go back. This is our eighth lesson, and we're going to learn tonight about the new life. We're still in the old flesh, but we have new life when we're born again by faith in Jesus Christ. Titus chapter 3, verse 3, if you're able, let's stand together to honor the reading of God's word. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse or various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Can I just stop right there? And can anybody tell me, do you identify with any of that? Like, I can't make it past the first one. Foolish. All right? See, I want to remind you tonight that whether you've been saved for a minute or you've been saved for 30 or 40 years, that's where we were without Christ. It's right there. And I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to wake you up tonight. If you've never been born again, that's where you are right now. It's where you are. So we were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice. That's just wickedness and envy, hateful and hating one another. Verse 4. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before Your throne of grace, we thank You for Your mercy, wherewith You have saved all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You for the grace that You have shown us, the grace that You've shed abroad on us through Your great love, through Your Son Jesus. Lord, I pray for everyone here who is saved that You would remind us where we were without Christ, that we might rejoice in a greater way tonight who we are in Christ and what You've done for us in Christ. And we pray for those that are among us tonight in this class and in the other classes with the young people, anyone here who's never been born again. Pray tonight Your Holy Spirit would work in their heart. I pray the gospel would reach them tonight, that tonight they would repent, they would turn away from their sin, turn to You, and in faith they would believe on the Lord Jesus Christ with all their heart. We thank You for Jesus. We pray that You'd be glorified in all we do, and I pray You'll help me, for I'm nothing without You. I pray Your Spirit will move now through Your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. I want to ask you tonight, have your emotions ever tricked you into feeling something that you know isn't true? Anybody ride roller coasters? Like roller coasters? I love roller coasters. Anybody get afraid on roller coasters? See, I... Listen, if you've never had the chance to go to a theme park with Augie Rodriguez, I encourage you to do that and ride a roller coaster with him, because I promise you it'll be 10 times more fun. Yeah, it's so much more fun when the person next to you is screaming. Amen. So I love roller coasters, but that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun. You guys know that we like Silver Dollar City. It's the Christian theme park. It's like, you know, the Chick-fil-A of theme parks. But we like it up there, and there's one particular ride called Powder Keg, and I've ridden it, I don't know, 100 times. But every time I get on that stupid ride, I wish I hadn't. Like, I know what's going to happen, the anticipation. They roll you out real slow, they take you up there, they set you up, and they have a little countdown to the blast off. And they say it's just like 50 miles an hour. I think it's at least 250. But I get scared every time. Like, I don't know why, but I'm terrified every time, every time. I'm scared. And, you know, my kids like to ride it, so I got to be a man and ride it with them even though I don't want to. Like, I know it's safe. I know that all the safety stuff's there. I know I'm probably not going to die. But it's still, you get afraid. And sometimes your emotions will override what you know to be true. Have any of you ever been scared by a mouse? Would you be honest tonight and tell me if you've ever been frightened by a mouse? I'm waiting on you to put your hand up. Okay. Listen, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. It's like the tiniest thing in the world, but you have one run at you. I don't know, like, if you think you're going to get the plague just because it runs across your foot or what, but I've heard too many horror stories. I've heard about it running up people's pants legs, and that's enough to, I don't want any part of that. Like, if you stepped on it, it would die, but you're terrified of it, right? That makes no sense. It makes no sense. There are things that we're afraid of. I remember we love each other. Most of you know my dad had his own business for a while, and we love each other, so we like to play pranks on each other, because that's what you do when you love people. You try to scare them to death. And we had a rubber snake, and we put that thing everywhere. I like to put it in my aunt's, you know, her pencil drawer there, and it didn't matter how many times we did it. Every time, she would scream. I mean, every time. And you'd be out in the shop, and you would hear her scream, and you would know Aunt Paula found the rubber snake. Well, one time, she screamed, and when she threw her arms up, she threw it, and it landed behind the trash can. We didn't know it. When somebody, the lady who went by to take the trash out, now, her fear of snakes is like a different level. Like, if you don't have a healthy fear of snakes, there's something wrong with you. Like, you people that like to go around grabbing rattlesnakes by the tail and stuff, that's not right. There's something wrong with you. Thank you. You ought to have a healthy fear of snakes, but some people have an irrational fear of snakes. Well, that was this lady. And she moved the trash can to take the trash out. That rubber snake rolled, you know, and so it moved as though it had life. And she almost, it's a thousand wonders she didn't die, she almost fainted, and I thought we were going to have to call an ambulance because I thought she was going to die right there in the office. Now, even if you know it's not real, sometimes it will scare you. Things make you afraid. So I want you to get tonight, we're going to talk about the fact that you and I are, we're more than a body. We're more than a body. Sometimes our emotions feel things that our minds know are not true. Our emotions will lie to us. And I want you to get that our makeup is more complex than just a body. It's more complex than what we think. You're more than randomly evolved biological matter being swept along by spontaneous events strung together by the fate and cosmic evolutionary processes. That was a mouthful. But I want you to get it. You're more than randomly evolved biological matter. Amen. We're more than stardust. And some of the people on this planet today who are supposed to be the most intelligent people on the planet would have you to believe that you're nothing more than stardust. They would have you to believe that you're nothing more. I don't want to be gross tonight, but we're just sacks of meat that have come about by random biological evolutionary processes. That's what they want you to believe. But friends, you're more than that. You're more than that. You're more than what you see in the mirror. There's more to you than what meets the eye. Self-help psychology tries hard to avoid truth because secular thought doesn't have any answers to questions like, where did I come from? Why do I exist? What's the purpose of life? What happens when this life is over? They don't have any answers to those things. There's no hope. Secularists say that you randomly evolve biological matter, which means you have no meaningful origin, you have no intelligent purpose, you have no significant value, you have no future but nothingness. That's what the world would have you to believe. Now, does that sit well with you? You see, there's something inside every one of us as human beings. It's something God has put inside of us to know better than that. We know, we inherently know there's more to life than what's right now. We know that there's more to it. Secularists tell us today there's no God. So when there's no God in heaven above, then man becomes God. Man worships the creature and not the creator. And the conclusion is, you're nothing, but you're also God. So I want to tell you, with a atheistic worldview, you're the God, the nothing God of nothing. Culture would have you believe you're nothing but an evolved sack of meat. Take the least path of resistance. Seek immediate gratification. If it feels good, do it. Or to quote Disney, follow your heart. But this deceptive belief system of the world breaks down with one word that God gives us, and that's conscience. Conscience. See, an evolutionary atheistic worldview cannot account for conscience. If we're just evolved stardust, then there is no right, there is no wrong, there are no morals. I hear our politicians today arguing both sides of things based on morals. Well, a lot of those politicians don't even believe in God. They have no basis for morality. Without God, there is no right, there is no wrong, there is no truth. Randomly evolved matter doesn't have a conscience. Spontaneous evolution doesn't etch eternal moral values and a sense of good and evil into genetic codes. Cosmic primordial soup doesn't give birth to life and that it instinctively worships. And I want you to think about this. Think about all the people groups of the world, because every people group in every nation in every era of human history, from the most civilized cultures in our world history to the least civilized cultures in our world history, you find people on the planet worshiping something. It's in them, because it's in them to know there's something more than themselves, something greater than themselves. Everybody worships. Everybody subjects themselves to a moral code. Now, whether they get their moral code from the Bible or not, it's inside of their DNA because God put it there. Romans 1:19 says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. Conscience is the knowledge of right and wrong. Conscience is the internal awareness of moral absolutes. It's what is inside people that calls us to worship. It calls us to worship. So I want to tell you tonight that you're more than just a body. And if you like to take notes, you can write this down. Number one, you are a three-part creation. God has created us in His image. He made man in His image. And we know that God is a triune God. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And He is three in one. That's what the scriptures call the Godhead. Now, if you expect me to explain to you exactly how that works, you've come to the wrong place. It's beyond our understanding to break down the intricacies of how God is three in one, but we know it to be true because it's what the Bible says. Amen. And our triune God has created us as triune creatures. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's spirit, there's soul, and there's body, three distinct parts of our human nature. James 2:26 lets us know that the body and spirit are different. The body without the spirit is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. 2 Corinthians 4:16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. There's a distinction there. Now, it's nearly impossible for us to to separate the different parts of our being absolutely, especially when you consider the soul and the spirit. They're different, but they're very, very closely linked together. They're interwoven in our in who we are. But we're going to break it down a little bit tonight to try to at least get the understanding. Because when we think about our salvation, the fact that we're made up of body, soul, and spirit has a huge implications into our salvation. We'll see that tonight. First of all, your body. Your body. So, some people like to call your body your earth suit. Okay, I thought that was silly, but nobody laughs, so I guess I'm alone over here. To stay with the sack of meat idea, your body is your sack of meat that the rest of you wears while you're on earth. Your body's the part of you you feed, you rest, you exercise, you care for, you nurture. When your body's sick, you take it to the doctor. When it's hurt, you mend it. When it needs something, you try to fulfill its needs. And when your body dies, you exit it. It's a temporary thing. Temporary thing. The Bible uses the picture of a tabernacle, or what we might call a tent. It's our body. It's a temporary dwelling place. Over time, your body ages and breaks. Well, I knew that'd get some amens. A lot of aging and breaking people here. Amen. I'm excited because I turned 40 this year, and everybody tells me it's all downhill from here. I'm ready. I'm ready for that downhill slide. When you get saved, everything that's in you groans for that new tabernacle. You desire, you long for that. You see, when you're lost, if you're in a hurry to die and you're lost, you're crazy. But you are very much in your right mind when you're saved to be ready for that new body. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 2, he says, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven, that glorified body." Verse 4, he says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." And there's coming a day when this body will be glorified, and when you're saved, your soul and your spirit are longing for that day. So if there's not something in you that is yearning to be in heaven, yearning to be with God, yearning to be glorified and with Him forever, something's not right. You'll be longing for that day. We have a soul. Your soul is the inner you, which occupies your body. It's your mind, will, and emotions. The Bible often uses the word soul interchangeably with life, mind, or heart. Your soul is what you think with. It's your intellect. Your soul is what you choose with. It's your will. Your soul is what you feel with, your emotions. The word soul in your New Testament is almost always translated psuche. It's what we get the word psyche from. It's where our intellect, our emotions, and our will come from. We think, we choose, we feel with our soul. It's the sum total of the inner man that processes and wills you forward through your experiences, your relationships, your choices. Your soul is where your personality comes from. It's who you really are. Like I said, you're more than what you see in the mirror, right? You're more than what meets the eye. That's your soul. That's who you are on the inside. Proverbs 4:23 uses the word heart. Speaking of the soul, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." The psalmist cried out to God in Psalm 139:23, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts." And that's what we have. So we have our body, we have our soul, and then we have our spirit. Now we have our spirit. Now I want you to understand that before you're saved, as a human being, you have a spirit, but your spirit is separated from God. Your spirit is divided from God, separated from God because of our sin. Now, to be separated from God means that you are dead. So when you're lost, your spirit is dead. It's separated. And that's what the Bible's talking about when it says the old man. The old man is crucified with the affections and lust. That's the spirit that was dead without Christ. So we've talked a lot in this series of lessons about how when we're lost, our spiritual DNA is messed up. We have a spiritual birth defect. And that's that spirit that's cursed with sin. The sin nature is in it, and it affects it. When we talk about the sin that comes out of us, we're not sinners because we commit sins. We commit sins because we are sinners. It's in our nature. And that's where that dead spirit produced those wicked works. Back in our text, that's what he's talking about. We were foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures. That all came from a dead spirit. After salvation, your old man is crucified with Christ and is completely dead. Where you get that? After salvation, your old man is crucified with Christ and is completely dead. It's important that you get this. It's not a behavioral thing. It's a biblical thing. I don't know that my old man is dead. I don't know my old man is crucified because of the way I behave. I know the old man is dead because God's word says so. We have to believe the promises of the word of God. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel like your old nature died? Do you feel like your old sin nature is dead? Because I want to tell you, there's times that I don't feel like my old sin nature is dead. Sometimes I feel like my old sin nature is alive and well. I know it's not because God says it's not, but I feel like it is sometimes, and I want you to get that. You may not feel like your old sin nature died, but it did. Your new nature is alive unto God. And that's why he says you need to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so by faith, I know that I'm born again. By faith, I know the old man is dead. By faith, I know I'm born again in faith in Christ. And so the Spirit of God lives in me. And he is enabling me to know God, to walk with God, to be transformed by God. And that happens because he's put a new spirit within me. Everybody get that? I want you to understand that before you were saved, there was no hope of doing good, doing right, walking with God. It was impossible. But when you're born again, the old man is dead and the new man is made alive. 1 Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. That we might know things that are freely given to us of God. And so now we can know him. Now we can know his truth. Now we can know the truths of the word of God because he's made us born again. His spirit has made us alive in the inner man. Ephesians 1:13, in whom also ye trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And so the moment you turn from your sin to God, you put your faith in Christ, you're made alive, you're born again. His Spirit comes and lives inside of you. And that's really what we mean. Some of you might say, well, I got saved. I'd say, tell me about when you got saved. You say, well, I asked Jesus into my heart. Well, what really happened, it wasn't so much you asked Jesus into your heart. You repented of your sin, you trusted in Jesus, and his spirit came and took up residence inside of you. Amen. We've received Christ by faith because we've received the truth of the gospel. We're made alive. God wants us to be led by his spirit in every part of our lives. The Holy Spirit is in us to give us truth in our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. And he wants to anchor our thoughts, emotions, and choices and direct them by him. Philippians 2:5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Friends, that's not possible if you're not born again. That's not possible. You can't have the mind of Christ if you don't have his spirit. So as God's spirit leads our new nature, it directs our soul, which dictates the body how to act or behave. It's a top-down approach. Do you get that? You're saved now. The Spirit of God is in you, and he leads you, and as his Spirit convicts you, guides you, teaches you, leads you through his power and through his word, that affects your mind, your will, and your emotions, which then tell you how to live in your body. In other words, you can't will your body to do what's right. It has to come from the Spirit of God working through you. As he changes your heart and mind, then it changes your actions. But to get that, it's really important because our behavior is not going to change on our own. This is not about behavior modification that we can muster up. This is not about adhering to some religious system. This is about being changed from the Spirit of God in the inner man. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16, Galatians 5:25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about walking in the Spirit. That means the choices and decisions and actions that I make have been guided by the Spirit in me, changing my heart and mind and my will, and that changes what I do. All right, so what is it? Let's just use stealing as an example. How many of you have ever taken something that belongs to somebody else? Have you ever done that? Yeah. And if you do that, what are you? A thief. I was hoping somebody would say stealer. It's my favorite when people say stealer. And then I get to say, no, that's a team in Pittsburgh. And then everybody chuckles, and then we go on. But we didn't get to do that, so I had to bring it all in on my own. Thief. We don't like thieves. We don't like it when people steal our stuff. Doesn't even matter if it's small. I mean, I don't know if you have more than one child in your house, you've heard somebody scream, give that back, it's mine. Right? Maybe that was, you don't even have to have kids, maybe that's just you and your husband, I don't know. The Bible says, let him that stole steal no more. Now, do you think that the corrupted mind and body of somebody who was a thief or maybe a kleptomaniac or somebody who was just a bad thief or robber, like that's what they did, but they've been saved, do you think that's not still in there somewhere when the opportunity arises to take something? They got the skills. They could probably do it and get away with it. But something's changed because God's put his Spirit in them, and now the Spirit of God is in them, convicting them. And when they have that thought, man, I could take that right now, nobody's going to know. But the Spirit of God convicts them, and it affects their will and their emotions, and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. And so that changes their mind and their will, and that changes what their hands do. Amen. We could talk about the movies that we watch, TV shows. And I hate to think about sometimes the things that I used to watch. I'll confess to you guys, sometimes I'll get nostalgic and I'll try to go back and watch a movie from my childhood. Because in the 80s, they were all clean, right? Like, I'm telling you, when I was growing up, I had no idea. No idea. I wasn't saved at that time, and those things didn't register with me. But I've gone back and tried to watch things from the 80s. And I want to tell you, those people were filthy in the 80s. Somebody say amen. Yeah. Like, and you go, I didn't even know. But now it jumps out to me. And I'm like, I can't watch that. I can't listen to that. Why? Because I'm so good? No, because the Spirit of God is in me. His Spirit is convicting me. It's affecting my mind and my will and my emotions. And I say, I can't watch that. And now I don't watch it. See, it changes what I do with my eyes. And this is not me trying to will myself into something. This is God's Spirit working in me, changing me from the inside out. Okay. This walk in the Spirit is a lifelong process. It's a daily struggle. Just real quick poll. How many of you have been saved for more than 20 years? Would you raise your hand for me tonight? Look around, the vast majority. How many of you in this room have been saved for less than 10 years? Handful of you, right? So let me tell you something. You don't get saved, and when in 2 or 4 or 5 or 6 years or even 10 years, you're not going to be as spiritually mature as somebody who's been saved or as spiritually mature as somebody who's been saved for 50 years should be. It's a process of a lifetime. There are things that convict me today that didn't convict me 10 years ago. That's a process. Did God's Spirit change? Did what's right and wrong change? No. That's the maturity as God grows you in holiness. It's a process, so please, When you struggle with this every day, don't get discouraged and think, man, everybody's doing so good and I'm just struggling so hard. I promise you, everybody here is struggling. Amen. And my struggle is different than your struggle. And Brother Tom's struggle is different than my struggle. And I promise you, these young people that are in here, their struggle is different than our struggle. And you may look at them and go, why are you struggling with that? What's wrong with you? But then you just got to go back in the recesses of your mind and remember when you were young. And some of you would have to go back and say, you know what, these kids, as dumb as they are right now, and dumb as they're acting right now, they're still a lot better than I was at that age. I knew that'd get some amens. It's a lifelong process. And listen, don't misunderstand me tonight. I'm not trying to excuse sin. I'm not trying to excuse laziness or apathy or a lack of a desire to do what's right. I'm not trying to excuse that at all. I'm just saying that we ought to be long-suffering, and we ought to understand that it's a process of growth. And spiritual maturity doesn't happen the second you get saved. You have eternal life. You have a right standing with God. But this is a process that's going to have to take time. So think back with me to whatever it was that you might be afraid of. You know, roller coasters, rubber snakes, whatever. Now, you know in your head that you shouldn't be afraid. But I want you to think about the three parts of your being. You've got your body, your mind, and your spirit, okay? Now, think about how those can break down and mislead you. So think about the rubber snake. First, his spirit knows the truth that should make him free from fear. You ought to be able to walk right past a rubber snake laying on the ground and tell his mind, will, and emotions it's fake. Don't even think about it. Second, his mind, will, and emotions should process the truth with calm, emotional response, intelligent thought that it's not a real snake. Third, his body should obey his spirit and his mind, will, and emotions and keep walking. Just keep walking. Don't respond to it. It's just a rubber snake. But as you walk by, it's an awfully real looking snake. And just at that time, Brother Brian picks it up and throws it at you. Because that's what something Brian do. When you're caught off guard, everything changes. Your mind, will, and emotions of this perceived emergency override the truth and the spirit. You know that it's ridiculous to scream like a little girl on a roller coaster. You know it's ridiculous to run from a mouse. You know it's ridiculous to try to get away from a rubber snake. You know better. The spirit of truth in you tells you better. But it all goes out the door. The spirit gets shut down. Truth becomes irrelevant. Urgency overcomes the truth. The emotions. Your emotions tell you, it's a snake, I gotta get away, don't let it touch me. Your mind responds with illogical facts about snakes. Your emotions respond with fear. And your body responds with an adrenaline release, increased heart rate, heightened nerves. You know, we all get those cat-like reflexes. What I want you to get is, this is just a picture of what happens when we ignore the truth of God's word and follow our feelings, what that leads our lives into. Because we know the truth from the word of God. And the Spirit of God gives us that truth that shows us in our mind, will, and emotions. But when we get in certain situations, we ignore the truth. Our emotions get out of control, and we do stupid things with our bodies. The world's value system places your body and your mind in control. But in Jesus Christ, for the first time in your life, when you're saved, you have a new nature with a spiritual capacity to lead you to a different master. You have access. Get this. Stay with me, guys. In Christ, we have access to absolute truth. In a world that's filled with lies and misinformation and fake news and all the rest of it, we have access to absolute truth. Do you realize how liberating that is? Does that not resonate with you? You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Through Christ and His Word, we can know truth, and we can begin to experience a total renewing of our mind, a transformation of our life based on the truth. So when you think about the fact that you're made up of body, soul, and spirit, I want you to see that how that breaks down with the salvation that we have in Christ. In 1 Corinthians 1:30 it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." You know, think about the righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Listen to this. Titus 3:4-7 we read earlier, "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs to the hope of eternal life." This washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost, made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. All of these things go together with our new birth. When you are saved, when you turn from your sin to God, you put your faith in Christ, you are born again. But friends, that's not the end. That's just the first step. He has saved you on the inside completely. Your spirit is made new instantly. When you receive His word, you repent and believe in Jesus, you are instantaneously made a new creature in Christ. It's not something that's going to happen someday. You are born again. You have eternal life. You are a new creature in Christ. That's all present tense. You are passed from death to life. You have been gloriously saved the moment you trust in Jesus. But your soul, your mind, will, emotions, that is being renewed on a daily basis. That's not instantaneous. It's a daily renewal. And your body will be redeemed one day. The redemption of our body draws nigh. It's not something that's already accomplished. It's something that's coming. Everybody get that? I ask some of you from time to time, are you redeemed? You say, absolutely, I'm redeemed. Jesus bought me back. But when the Bible speaks about redemption, most of the time, it's not talking about spiritual redemption. It's talking about the redemption of your body. And friends, I'm just telling you, trying to be rude, but our bodies aren't redeemed yet. Right? That's why I can't eat all the Twinkies I want to. My body is not redeemed. That's why it hurts after playing flag football for 3 days. That's why some of you don't play flag football. You just lay down on the ground and watch. Our bodies aren't redeemed yet. That's coming. Tonight I want you to consider where you are in Christ, where you were without Christ. See, He has begun a good work in you. And I know that He's able to finish that work. He will finish that work. What a wonderful thing tonight to know that He's given us the truth and that we can grow in that truth. Next week, we're going to dig in a little deeper about this salvation that He's given and how it's a three-part miracle. We're going to dig a little deeper into this work in progress that we are. But I want you to understand tonight that none of it matters. You're not going to be redeemed. Your body's not going to be glorified. Your mind can't be renewed day by day if you're not first born again. I don't know the best way to ask it. Are you 100% sure that if you died tonight, you'd be in heaven with God forever and ever? Can you put your hand on your heart and say, I know that I have eternal life because my faith is in Jesus Christ? Is there any question, any doubt I just want to plead with you tonight, if you're not 100% sure, I want to plead with you that you put your faith in Christ. You can know. You can know that you have eternal life. And it's not because you're a good person, not because you've been baptized, not because you're a member of a church. If you have eternal life, it's because you've turned from your sin to God. You put your faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And if you haven't ever done that, I want to invite you to do that tonight. We're going to stand together and get ready for a verse of invitation. If you've never been born again, I'm going to invite you to turn from your sin, repent, put your faith in Christ, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that He died for you and rose again. Trust in Him because He's the only way anyone will ever get to heaven. If you are saved but you've never been baptized, I implore you to take that next step. It's the first step of obedience for everyone who's saved, that you be baptized and serve Him in the church. If you've been struggling, maybe you feel like you haven't been being renewed in your mind, you haven't been praying, you haven't been studying the Word of God. Friends, that's where renewal happens. And if your mind's not being renewed, I promise it's because you're not in the Word. Maybe you just need to ask the Lord to help you. Lord, help me to get my mind right, to be renewed. Maybe everyone here has thought something we shouldn't have thought today, looked at something we shouldn't have looked at, heard something we shouldn't have heard, said something we shouldn't have said, done something we shouldn't have done, or maybe we didn't do something God wanted us to do. Maybe there's something we need to get right with the Lord tonight. Just where you're at tonight, if we confess our faults, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Make sure your heart, your mind, your life is right with the Lord tonight. And if He's calling you, if His Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, you come right now while we sing.